Well, let me welcome back Kevin Lucco here to Systematically Wild. And Kevin, you know, there's still a lot of points out, but those Minnesota Wild refusing to go away.
Yeah, you know, as this show comes out, they will probably have played their two games out west against Anaheim and Los Angeles. But if we reel it backwards, good homestand beating teams they should in Phoenix and Anaheim, and then didn't have a good game in St. Louis, but did find a way to get a point in overtime. So, you know, at least they're making it interesting. The pundits are still saying probably just going to be a little too late, but at least it's interesting hockey in March into April.
As you and I are talking tonight, they're facing Anaheim. It just got underway. Points in 7 straight games for this team, 5-0-2. As you mentioned, so last Sunday we talked about that, a 4-3 overtime victory over Nashville, and a 4-1 victory over Arizona, a 2-0 victory over the Ducks on Thursday, and a 3-2 shootout loss in St. Louis. I'm thinking, man, 5 points out of 6. You got to like that, but this race is just so tough to try to gain some ground, especially against St. Louis, who you can't afford to give away at 2 points to. So is 5 points right now just too many to catch a Vegas Golden Knights team?
It's tough. When you got these games that are where you could have two contending teams play each other, they go to overtime, and at best you're going to gain only 1 point on one of the two teams. You know, the key right now for Minnesota is to they just don't have a lot of room to stumble right now. I mean, they'll have some games coming up against teams that they are chasing. I believe Vegas does come to Minnesota for a game. I don't know, maybe there's a second game, too, against Vegas at some point, but you know, that's going to be a huge game if they're within shouting range. But, you know, Vegas loaded up at the trade deadline. They're not looking to go off into the night after winning the Stanley Cup last year. So it's going to be a tough task, but I do like that the Wild are showing some fight and trying to make some things happen.
Yeah, Vegas comes on the 30th to Minnesota, then the Wild take them on the 12th in Las Vegas. And so,
yeah, you may as well just call those playoff games.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you is that while I mean, you can only be so optimistic, I think at this point, and you're right, there just may not be enough games left in the season. There's a lot of very winnable games for this team. I mean, you're Anaheim tonight. You got a Los Angeles team that's been sort of hot and cold. You're not really sure what you're going to get out of them. I'm not sold on Cam Talbot, never have been. So you don't know what you're going to get on that particular night. Los Angeles may be good, maybe not. St. Louis at home, that's kind of a tough one. But then you got San Jose. You got Vegas that comes to town. That's a team that you could, you know, get some points on. Then you got Ottawa at home. Colorado and Winnipeg are a little tough, but Chicago, you close with Chicago, Colorado, Vegas, San Jose, Los Angeles, and Seattle. I think like 8 or 9 of those games are seriously winnable for them. So they got a pretty decent shot, I guess, if they can just get Vegas or Nashville to lose some.
Yeah, and you're still trying to hold off teams coming up from behind you. You know, St. Louis isn't going to just go away either. So it's tough. Like I said, there's not a lot of room for you get a 2 or 3-game losing streak now, and you may as well fold it up because it's so tough to make up points.
Now, who'd have thought a 2-game losing streak could doom you? But, yeah, it would this time of the year.
This isn't the old Norris division where 4 teams make the playoffs out of 5, and the 5th was Toronto, who was, geez, for the better part of the late 70s and all the 80s and a little bit into the 90s, was their lot in life was to finish out of the playoffs.
Well, let's start out with the Arizona game. So Kirill Kaprizov scored his 32nd goal of the year in the first period to make it 1-0. Arizona able to tie the score, but Ryan Hartman scores on the power play to make it 2-1. Kaprizov and Marcus Foligno each add empty net goals in the final, in a span of 27 seconds apart from each other, to give Minnesota, the 4-1 victory. Kaprizov still continuing to be red hot right now, Kevin. And I guess if you're looking for something where you say our team really needs a spark to keep us in a playoff run, to have your star player stepping up his game at this time of the year is, I think, what you expect out of your star player.
He's among the best players in the league since the All-Star break, I think, as far as goals go. But the tough part in that game was losing Joel Eriksson Ek to injury in the later stages of that game, and he has not played since. It sounds like he could slot in on Saturday afternoon against St. Louis for that big game. But he missed the Anaheim-St. Louis series last week and then did not go out to the West Coast. So, you know, that's just, you know, it happens to teams, and that's where you got to try to embrace the next man up concept.
How about Marc-Andre Fleury, Kevin? He looked really sharp, 22 saves in this game. He's making it look like he's going to be back next year.
I think he is. I can't see him doing this well and then just deciding to hang it up. I just think the guy, he's competitive, but he loves what he's doing. And, I'm sure Fleury's probably thinking, well, what would I do if I wasn't playing? You know, you play that long and you don't remember what your life was without when there wasn't hockey. So,
true.
I have a feeling as long as he's playing this kind of hockey, I can't imagine him hanging it up. And he'll turn 40 next year. We're talking like a modern-day wow. Gump Worsley.
That's pretty impressive. On Thursday night, it's a 2-0 victory over Anaheim. Zach Bogosian scores his third goal of the season, 14:44 into the contest. Kaprizov with his 34th of the season, 2:17 in the second. That is all the scoring that Fleury needed as he stopped 16 shots and recording the shutout. Wasn't really tested in this game, Kevin, but you know, you ask your goalie to just make the saves he needs to make to get a shutout, and he was pretty sharp on this game.
He was, and you know, it wasn't a Picasso as far as Minnesota. Went a lot of missed shots, but you know, I think the big news of that night was the debut of Murat Kuznetsov, and that was kind of a funny moment because, and this tells you how intelligent most of the fans in Minnesota are. Kuznetsov was like, I think in the first period, like 5 for 6 in the faceoff circle, and we all know Minnesota's problems with faceoffs. Fans were cheering after he'd win faceoffs. And who knows? I mean, this could be the centerman they've been looking for that can win the majority of the faceoffs. So, you know, that alone would be a nice get. And if he becomes a player he thinks will be as a second-round draft pick, I think it could be a good career for Mr. Kuznetsov.
Absolutely. Saturday's a 3-2 shootout loss. The team falls behind 2-0, but Marco Rossi with his 18th of the season, 1:10 into the third, coming just after a Braden Schenn goal, made it 2-1. Kaprizov then scores with just under 4 minutes left in the game to tie it at 2, forcing overtime eventually into a shootout. I would have liked to have normally been super happy about this, Kevin, saying, wow, we came away with a point on a game on the road where you fell behind 2-0, looked like you were about to lose this, but because it's St. Louis and they're ahead of you and you need every point, that's the only thing I kind of look at this and go, well, we blew it. So,
yeah, you know, I'll admit I did not watch any of the game. I was busy in Minneapolis watching the Minnesota Gophers play 10 good minutes of hockey and losing to Michigan on Saturday night. So I didn't see the game, but I did see highlights. Freddie Gaudreau had one of the most confusing-looking attempts at a shootout that I have seen, and that's in keeping with the kind of year he's had. So it just was not meant to be for Minnesota on that night.
Fleury with 35 saves in the game. He might have gone 2-0-1 on the week there. So, man, I
think third star of the week in the NHL for the week, and that's – not bad work.
No, not at all. So that puts Minnesota in fourth place in the wild card standings right now with 74 points, 5 points behind Vegas, 8 behind Nashville at this particular point. Kevin, this week they have, as you and I are talking, I mentioned Oh, I got to step back here on this thing. As you and I mentioned, placing Anaheim right now 0-0 in that game. Then Los Angeles, they travel up down the road a little bit there to get to Los Angeles. Then St. Louis comes to town on Saturday. So, you got to look at this as at least a 5-point week you need here.
Well, we'll know what 2/3 of it looks like by the time the show goes on. But yeah, it's if you're getting 5 out of 6 points, that's an 83% points percentage clip, and that's not bad. But I think that's got to be the mentality at this point.
Yes, for sure. Got to really take advantage of these home contests, and they have to.
And I think the break they catch, it's, they played back-to-back on the road in Anaheim and Los Angeles, but Los Angeles had a home game against Chicago on Tuesday night, so, it'll be both teams were battling with after playing the night before on Wednesday night, so at least Minnesota was on somewhat even footing there.
There's a team down in Iowa, or Des Moines, Kevin, that lost to Grand Rapids in both of their games on Friday and Saturday, did head to Chicago where they got a 3-2 victory. But I think it's, as Don Meredith used to say, turn out the lights, the party's over for the Iowa Wild right now.
I think so. They needed to win. Well, like Minnesota, I think they needed at least four out of six points for the weekend. And it was almost going to be a skunk until they managed to sneak a win out in Chicago on Sunday afternoon on a late goal by Sammy Walker. So, but too little, too late as far as getting back, I think, into a chase for a playoff spot. I just don't see where – I don't think this team has that kind of a run in them.
So the team loses 2-0 on Friday night. Volstead was fantastic in this game. It was a scoreless tie through the first two periods. Joel Esperanza scores on the power play with 3:20 left in the contest. They had an empty net goal. So Volstead stops 29 shots in that game. He was fantastic. On Saturday, they lose 5-2 to Grand Rapids. This time it is a 2-1 Iowa Wild lead after Sammy Walker scores his 11th goal of the season. But Grand Rapids scores the final 4 goals of that game to get the victory. It is Zane McIntyre getting the start as Peyton Jones backing up McIntyre in that contest. 25 saves for McIntyre. Come away totally empty-handed against Grand Rapids, a team that I get is, they're not a slouch in any way here. You're second place in the division out there, but still, you had to come away with at least a 1 point in each of those games or something. It just, the team just does not have offense right now, Kevin.
No, there's not much working for them, man. I think when you traded off one of your better pieces with Nick Batan, that did not help cause as much. And the team they're chasing for that, at least a play-in series spot, Manitoba, has been starting to win some games now. So Manitoba's up 8 points. Granted, this is looking really bad now. Manitoba's 9 points up with a game in hand. I just don't see where in 13 games Iowa's going to be able to make up that kind of ground.
Yeah, I can. And they're 9-1 in their last 10. So they're not doing you any favors right now. So, you're going to have to go out and just play lights out hockey. And it looked like they weren't going to come away with anything. As you were mentioning, Kevin, 2 power play goals put them down by 2 to Chicago on Sunday. The penalty killing for this team has just been abysmal all season long. I don't care what anybody says. But Gavin Hayden scores his 4th goal of the season to make it 2-1. Brendan Miller with his 2nd to tie the game. And then Sammy Walker, as Kevin mentioned, with 14 seconds left, gives the team the 3-2 victory. Jesper Volstead returns for this game, stops 28 shots in the victory. He looked very good in the contest. But wow, I mean, this would have been the death nail. If they would have lost that game, they'd have just been done at that point. But still, 9 points with 13 games left, not a lot of life left for this team.
Okay, let's do the math here. Let's say Iowa goes 10-3 the rest of the way. Now, that's really good hockey. If you go 10-3, you're at 67 points.
Yep.
So all Manitoba would have to do is get 6 wins or 6 points in their last 14 games. Not 6 wins, but 6 points. I'm trying to do this math in my head here, and it's probably my downfall.
So if Minnesota went 10-3, they'd have 67 points. Manitoba in fifth right now has 56. So they would need 12 points to ensure they knocked out Iowa. And that would be so that 6-8 is all they would need to play over their final 14 games. And they would knock out the Wild. Now, how many games did the Wild have against Manitoba at this point? So none for the rest of this month. And then in April, we have Hershey, Rockford, two in Manitoba, and then Grand Rapids and Chicago. So, I mean, you really don't have any opportunity to do much damage against Manitoba. So you have to hope a lot of other teams are able to knock them off, and I think that's asking a lot right now. So.
They're going to have to win both games at home against Chicago this weekend.
Yes.
I need a way to get something done against Milwaukee on Tuesday. But then you head back down to Texas. That's never been a picnic.
No.
Then Hershey comes to town, one of the best teams in the AHL.
Yep.
And yeah, then you got one against a midweeker against Rockford. Then you go to Manitoba for two.
Yep.
It's not looking good.
And let's face it, at this point too, Kevin, they're not getting any help from the big club right now either. Nobody's coming down from Minnesota to help Iowa. So you're on your own with what you got right now, and this scoring right now, there's just non-existent. So there's nothing to be getting excited about at this point.
You know, it just makes me a little curious if we're going to see I don't know, without having the Wild prospect pool at the top of my head, whether anybody's going to wrap up a college season and then sign and go down to Iowa right away, or if they have a line on any collegiate free agents that would be skilled enough to make an impact in the AHL. So they might be left with what they got.
Well, let's drop down to the Iowa Heartlanders, who go 1-2 during the week against the Wheeling Nailers, but three amazing games. I mean, just fantastic competition all weekend long. It was exciting to listen to. On Wednesday night, it begins with a dramatic 3-2 overtime victory. They fall behind in this contest, 1-0, but Evan Boucher scores his second of the season, 13-16 into the first to tie the game. Kyle Masters scores his fourth of the year to give Iowa their first lead of the contest. The Nailers are able to tie the score on a power play at 16-16. No scoring in the third. That sends the game to overtime, where a nice save by Peyton Jones. He gets control of the puck and sends Ben Brinkman on a breakaway to get the game winner. So he got an assist and the victory out of the game. So nice victory to begin a homestand there, Kevin.
I remember Ben Brinkman from his days at the University of Minnesota, and that's if you took all the players on the Heartlanders, put their names in a hat, and drew a name for which one you'd want to spring out at breakaway, Brinkman would not be the name you'd be drawn out of the hat, but somehow it worked.
Jones with 34 saves in the contest deserved that call up there to the Iowa Wild later on in the week. On Friday, an unfortunate 1-0 loss for the team. Drew DeRitter was right in this game, stopped 35 shots, but it's the hard luck loser. As scoreless game through regulation, Justin Lee scores 2:59 into overtime, but came away with a point out of the game, so you feel like you got something out of it. But just a magnificent performance by DeRitter, and unfortunately his team unable to do anything for him.
That's
then we drop to Sunday. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. On Saturday, it's DeRitter again. He stops 22 shots in a 2-1 loss. 2-1 loss in that game. Iowa gets the first goal of the game. Jack Purbix, I think is the way that is said, scores his first ECHL goal with the Iowa Wild. Wheeling able to tie the score in the second and get the game winner 3:48 into the third. Again, DeRitter with 22 saves in that contest. I really wonder what the organization does with this guy. 2.84 goals against average in 20 games, Kevin. 9.14 save percentage, which is pretty good at the ECHL level. Only had a little bit of experience with Kalamazoo, just one game last year. 9-6-3 on a team well below 500. As a matter of fact, six games below 500. Somebody's going to have this guy as their number one goalie next year, you got to believe.
Yeah, I don't know what. I guess it just depends on what happens in the levels above the Heartlanders. You know, I could see Zane McIntyre moving on, and, you know, then who's going to be your backup in Des Moines? So, you know, that's an opportunity for someone in Des Moines, and then equals an opportunity for someone to move up a spot in with the Heartlanders. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out as the summer months go on.
After the Hunter Jones watch, he was the backup in both Friday and Saturday's game, but did not appear in either one. So we'll see what the Wild decide to do with him heading on from this direction. This week, the Wichita Thunder come to town. So I will be on the opposing side this week. Friday night, I will not be on the broadcast because that is the TV broadcast for the Heartlanders, and they do not allow an additional broadcaster for the opposing team on Friday nights. But I will be on Saturday and Sunday for the Thunder. So I do not have any, I can't give good observations for the Iowa Heartlanders because they would technically be the enemy for this weekend, Kevin.
Well, you'll get to see Nico Blackman in person. So we'll start with them. Only one fight in his first three games with the Heartlanders.
But what's going on, man?
I thought what was interesting for me as a Minnesota Gopher hockey fan was Jack Purbix, who got the goal on Saturday night, became another Gopher alumnus to play for the Heartlanders. And the irony is of the guys on the Heartlanders that played for the Gophers, and I'm talking about Johnny Sorensen, another recent addition, Jack Purbix, Ben Brakeman, or my other guys here, Robbie Stucker. I feel like I'm missing one, but maybe not. All those guys played for the Gophers, but they all transferred to other schools for their senior season. And now they're all united on the Heartlanders.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
But, you know, that's going to be a thing, too. You know, this week, more and more players in the NCAA ranks will be ending their season. And you just wonder how many are going to maybe find their way to Coralville and get in a look at the Heartlanders.
Well, Kevin, let's jump back to the NHL now. Talk a little bit about what's going on here with the big league. And so let's start out here, first of all, in the East. Because one thing I've never been a particularly big fan of a team kind of backing their way into the playoffs. And I love the action right out there because it looks like the top eight teams, if you consider it in the wild card right now, really, really playing strong. You know, the Boston, 6 wins out of their last 10, 6-2-2. Florida at 7-3. Toronto's playing pretty well. Carolina really playing very well. Philadelphia, the only team of those top eight who's under 500 in the last 10 games. And I really like to see when everybody playing their best hockey come playoff time.
Kind of interesting that Thursday night, one of the healthy scratches for Philadelphia was recently named Captain Sean Couturier. So once again, but you know, it worked as they beat Toronto 4-3, but once again, you know, maybe if John Tortorella pushing the right buttons to get his team revved up again, but you know, it's going to be a chase right down to the end for who's going to be the top eight. I guess the thing I've been noticing lately is Detroit has been sliding, possibly out of a playoff spot. And Washington, a team that I had written off for dead, especially after they came to Minnesota, just looked disinterested. Washington has rattled off a bunch of wins lately, and they look like they could sneak into a wild card spot.
Yeah, holding the final spot right now, Kevin. It's 6-4 in their last 10, three straight victories for the club. Does Washington hang on to that last playoff spot, do you think?
Well, from what I'm seeing, they're like 1 point out. But
right now, it's showing to be second in the wild card standing, but that's where they're showing me right now.
But then again, I'm on the NHL app, so you know.
Oh, you're right. Because Detroit won tonight. You're right. So Detroit won, that bumped them ahead of Washington. You're correct. Yeah.
Okay, so NHL's right for once. Yeah, look at Detroit. I mean, they're actually fighting against each other in practice last week. So, but I think that's going to be, and you know, it's not a sure thing for Tampa Bay either. Washington and Tampa Bay have played the same amount of games, and Lightning are only three up on Washington. So I think that that chase for those final two playoff spots is going to be one to watch.
In the Central, Kevin, Winnipeg won tonight, 93 points, 91 for both Colorado and Dallas. Dallas has played one more game than both of those teams. Who winds up getting the top spot in that division?
After what I saw tonight, Tuesday night, I think Winnipeg can find a way to finish on top there. I think there's been some inconsistency with Dallas as of late. You know, they've been my choice most of the season, but I got a feeling the Jets are for real, and I think those acquisitions at the trade deadline of Toffoli and Sean Monahan, I think those are going to be those are moves that have paid off for the Jets so far, and Connor Hellebuyck has shown no signs of breaking. You know, going into New York and winning, that showed me a lot.
Yeah, and popped ahead of Vancouver, who's got a huge homestand right now. I'm thinking Winnipeg is not. I thought a couple of years ago, it might have even been last year, they were kind of selling a lot near the trade deadline. But boy, great rebuild to get this club back in position to battle right now. And if they can hold off Colorado, who's won six straight games, this team, I would not want to play them in the playoffs because they're finding a way to win games. I'm loving that. So
whoever winds up second and third in that division, that is going to be a heck of a first round series.
Yes, you are right. Nashville, Kevin, 8-0-2 in their last 10, jumped to the top wild card spot. They're obviously not going to catch the top three in this division, just too many points to try to get up at this particular point. But they become a team that a first-place team is going to be really unhappy to have Nashville to open up the playoffs with right now.
I think so. I mean, it's, you know, people don't like some don't like this playoff system, but I think what we're seeing in both division or both conferences, there's enough quality teams now where nobody really gets a gimme in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what makes one of the best things in sport to watch is just to see how it plays out for 2.5 months.
You know, Kevin, one thing that I kind of laugh about, because if you were to tell me who were the top 10 goals against averages in the NHL right now, I would not be telling you. Connor Hellebuyck has been great. He had a disappointing season last year, but he's been pretty good in his career, first in the NHL. Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, had some decent numbers in Columbus, but never great. Cam Talbot, fifth. Jonathan Quick, sixth. Thatcher Demko, seventh. Joey DeCord, eighth. Jeremy Swayman, ninth. Boston, I'm not surprised, but Stuart Skinner, tenth. Not a list of top 10 goaltenders you would normally think. I mean, am I off base on that?
Yeah, it does seem a little off. I mean, Joey DeCord played against Minnesota the last month, and I didn't think he looked good at all. But, you know, Jeremy Swayman being in the top 10, that makes a little more sense now why Boston was potentially looking at moving Linus Ullmark at the trade deadline. So, Stuart Skinner, former ECHL guy. Thatcher Demko, I've seen him play since college. I was just waiting for him to become a premier goalie in the league, so that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, we're, man, just I think we're 4 weeks left now in the regular season, and Vegas holding on to that final spot, St. Louis and Minnesota chasing them right now. Currently, the eight playoff teams that are in position in the West, is that the eight teams 4 weeks from now that will start the NHL playoffs?
I have a pretty good feeling about that.
I agree with you there. Kevin, thanks for joining me this week.
My pleasure.